right, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. We know the Old Testament prophet Isaiah in chapter 53 here was prophesying of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, prophesying of the sacrifice that Christ would make. And as God would have it in His written word here, He speaks of it as if it had already happened. The interesting thing about that, that's a twofold thing about that particular fact. First of all, it's a stumbling block to the Jews to look at that and see it's already happened. But second of all, for us who are saved, we understand that God is outside of time, and when God speaks something, it's as good as done. And He had planned, Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, He had planned to offer Himself a sacrifice, to give Himself a sacrifice for the sins of man. And as we look here, beginning in verse number 1, in Isaiah 53, the Word of God says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before His shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living. The transgression of my people was stricken. He made His grave with the wicked and with the rich in His death, because He had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Oh, what a passage of Scripture. I had said before, I'll say again, what a needful thing for us to, at least on occasion, somewhat regularly, look back at Isaiah 53 and read and remember how this connects to, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." How we connect this passage to, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we connect the passage to, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." We connect this passage to our the ministry of John the Baptist and the walk and ministry of Jesus Christ and the ultimate ministry of Christ for the world was to lay down His life so you and I could live. So you and I could have everlasting life. Oh, that this flesh would get out of the way and allow us to praise Him in His true holiness and worthiness. That we could aim the amount of glory toward Him that He deserves. This flesh will not allow. However, one day, very soon, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. We'll be like Him. We'll have the mind of Christ. We'll be able to glorify Him finally the way He deserves. But until then, remember, His body was broken so we could become His body on this earth. The church, His bride, one flesh. We could become His hands and His feet and His mouth. And as we identify these things as true, I want you to ask yourself a question. Are you His feet? Do you walk the walk He wants you to walk? Are you His hands? Do you do the works He wants you to do? Are you His eyes? Are you looking the places He wants you to look? Are you His ears? Are you listening to the things He wants you to hear? Are you His mouth? Oh, that He would take these lips of clay and use them for His honor and His glory. Are you His mouth? That you are speaking the things He wants you to speak? His body was broken. His blood was shed. His agony and travail as He suffered the death you and I deserve to die. As He went to hell because of our sin debt. And He came back out because He had no sin of His own. The gates of hell did not prevail against Him because He is God Almighty. He is righteous. He is holy. He is pure and good. Yet He suffered like no man has suffered. To deliver us from the wrath to come. One of these days, He's going to call us out of here. In Israel, some of those Jews, the remnant, will read this. And they'll realize that He was bruised for their transgression. He was wounded for their sin. That He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. To pay their debt also. Now I understand where we're at. I understand what we're looking at. I understand that Israel's looking for a physical land, a physical kingdom, and He's going to be their king on the throne of David for 1,000 years. I understand that. But it wasn't just the sins of the world that He died for. He died for the collective sins of a nation. We are not spiritual Israel. We do not replace Israel. Jesus Christ died to save your soul, and He died to regenerate Israel. Say, well, etc., except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's true for an individual in the church age. Unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. But Israel is going to be born as a rebirth of a nation, not just a putting in a land, but he's going to take that stony heart and create in them a clean heart and a right heart. And they'll have a physical kingdom in Jerusalem, the city of peace, where on the throne sits the Prince of Peace. The Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus Christ. God Himself, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will dwell on the throne of David and rule with a rod of iron on a regenerated earth. Oh, that we would think on these things and realize that it's not all about us, it's all about Him. It's not even all about Israel, it's all about Him. He is our Savior. Bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. He is our righteousness. And He is their King. And physically, He'll take that throne. The question we should ask, I know we talked earlier about, are you His feet and His hands and His eyes and His ears and His mouth on this earth? Are you doing what He has asked you to do? Going where He has asked you to go? Walking the way He's asked you to walk? Saying the things and seeing the things and hearing the things He wants you to hear and being the way, treating people the way He wants you to treat people? I understand all the things, but I'm asking you today, is He the King of your heart? Told you before about a preacher. He went on to be the Lord now, but he'd come into my office and he would on the end table, an octagon shaped end table there. I believe it was octagon. Yeah. And anyway, there's a big King James Bible sitting there. I kept on the end table in my waiting room with tracts. And he would push that Bible out of the way and sit right there. Why'd he do that? Well, if he'd have done it once, I'd say, well, he probably didn't know what he was doing, but he'd done it several times because he despised the Word of God. He did not expect to be exposed like that, probably. But he despised the Word of God. He would slide that out of there and sit right where that Bible was. Say, well, that's terrible. Yeah, it is terrible. But you know what? A lot of times born-again believers will kind of try to move Jesus Christ out of the throne in their heart and put in worldly garbage. Or put in their self. Say, hang on, Lord, scoot over, let me run the show for a while. Let me be the landlord, if you will. Let me be in control. Let me answer to me for a while instead of you. Let my flesh get in the seat here and let's see what happens. The Lord doesn't want you to let your flesh take over the throne. He wants you to allow Him to guide you. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. And I'm talking about a healing. I'm not just talking about, I understand we can apply that to Israel. We can apply that spiritually to both directions. I understand that. Because of the beating His innocent flesh took, your guilty flesh. His innocent flesh took beatings and stripes. So your guilty flesh could be judged dead at Calvary and be a temporary vessel to carry that which is born of God, your soul, to the rapture. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. We're sealed unto that day. That boy, He saved us, He sealed us, and in that day He's going to change us. How is He able? As a just God, He made it possible. By going through what He went through on Calvary. The pain, the suffering, the agony, the humility, the death. The travail of His soul. as innocent Christ paid your sin debt. As that blood that was shed was offered up to the Father, and the Father said, "It is finished, I am satisfied. This is the Son, the blood of my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And when you trust Him and call on Him in this church age, He imputes Jesus Christ's righteousness to you. Praise God. So I've got a plan. I'm going to try to do this. I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to hope my works are good enough. I'm going to hope my good outweighs my bad. I'm trusting in my christening, trusting in my baptism, trusting in my church membership, trusting in my confirmation process, trusting in the prayers of a grandmother or what have you, trusting in whatever. I have a plan. And the devil says, "I have a plan. I'm going to drag you off into hell for eternity." And the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, said, "You know what? We have a plan too. And our plan is to pay your sin debt so I can apply my righteousness to your account." When you put faith toward God and repentance toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, "Look, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've died to self. I want to live for you. Lord, please forgive me and save me. I'm trusting you and you alone. I'm not trusting me anymore. I'm trusting you. I don't want religion. I want a relationship. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to act. I want to develop some form of godliness and deny the power thereof. The power thereof is the power of the resurrection, Lord, and I'm accepting that. Forgive me and save me." How can we do that? Because God had a plan. And when you realize verse 5 of Isaiah 53, "But He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity." You realize He did it for you. He did it for me. He died for the world. Died so that every man could have everlasting life. He died. He tasted death so fallen man could taste life. As 1 Peter said, we're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You know He's going to come back. He's going to come back on a white horse. We're going to come with Him. Battle of Armageddon. He's going to march down through here. The blood's through there. The blood's going to run bridle deep. He's going to trample them out. Between now and then, you know what most men are doing? They're trampling the blood of Jesus Christ and saying, "It is not enough. We will not accept that." And God the Father says, "I've already accepted it. And unless you accept it, the wrath of God abideth on you." But oh, for those of us that have tasted life, that have had a taste of eternal life and a glimpse into eternity through this precious Bible, that we remember what cost, what price Christ paid, counting the cost, what God gave so you could have eternal life. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Praise Him. And we sing the songs and we go through the motions and we have our church services, and when we get a hold of God, sometimes He gets a hold of us, we get a hold of Him, and it's just a great thing. But that we could remember Him moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, and submit to Him until He calls us home. We're ambassadors for Christ. He wants us to be His hands and His feet, His eyes and His ears and His mouth. Have His heart, His desire. He wants us to die to self so he can put our desires. He can give us our desires. He can put desires in your heart to do good and godly things. Not that we're special in and of ourselves, but that he is worthy and he is able. He is able. He's began a good work. And he wants to continue that work. Not only completing it at the rapture, but by us being more like Jesus Christ between now and then. Even so, come Lord Jesus, but let us be found acting as your hands and your feet, your eyes and your ears, and leaning on your bosom as John did, type of the church, that you could translate us like Enoch, being pleasing. This chapter and step into eternity. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with this stripe we are healed. Are you his hands and feet? Are you his eyes, his ears, his mouthpiece? You have Jesus and he has you. Does he have your heart? Does he have your heart? Father, we love you. We thank you that we can come to you and address you boldly as the throne of grace as Father because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because of the victory over death, hell, and the grave when you rose up through the power of the resurrection. Lord, help us to walk in that power until you call us home. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ.